So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, Jesus loves you.
Well, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to my home on God's blessed shores. I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadow of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy should never end. Now fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away.
We're so lucky to have the Lord on our side. As we give him our heart, allow us to show others the love of Jesus. Allow our hearts to be open. Allow us to be an example unto others. And open the eyes of our heart. give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he's done for us. You know, one day we will get to see our Lord. And just think about all he's done for us. As we live this life, sometimes it's not easy to give everything to the Lord, but we need to learn to do that and allow him to take care of everything. Sometimes we try to lean on ourselves when we need to learn to lean on God, because we really can give him everything, because he loves us so much. And we need to have the heart for him and continue to focus on him and give everything to him. Because, Lord, we really can have a future. We really can get rid of our past. And we really can give you all of our heart.
This is my desire to honor
we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for all you're doing in our lives and all you will do. Allow us to learn to lean on you and give everything to you, our future and our past. Allow us to worship you and accept you into our heart like never before. Allow us to accept that love that you give to us, that grace you give to us. And Lord, as we look forward to our future, allow us to learn to lean on you for everything. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this church, those that are here and those that could not be here. Those that are sick, be with them, Lord. And those that have not found you, let them find you and bring them here. Lord, we ask a special blessing over the pastor and the message that we may receive it. In all things we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship, just like to highlight a couple brief announcements. You'll see them in your bulletin. On the inside of your bulletin today, down at Faith United Methodist Church, they are having their barbecue chicken dinner. And if you are able and looking for something to do for lunch, basically head down there and you will get a nice sized dinner. And friends, when I was just down there, I want to tell you there will be more of this, announcements going back and forth. And what a better way than to support our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so as I announce some different things happening here at Trinity down there, you know, may we stand with them and support them in their barbecue chicken dinner. It starts at 11 a.m. until everything is gone. So get there early and you'll have a wonderful dinner. So on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice with me the Junior High Swamp, which stands for Serving with a Major Purpose. They are having a camp out starting Friday, July the 14th at 6 p.m. There's a lot of info on the back of your bulletin, and so read through that if you got a junior higher in your household or if you know a junior higher that would like to be a part of this. You can go to the website, which is www.gibsonburgtrinity.org, and there is an RSVP. They do need that to be done online. And so if you know of a 5th through 8th grader that would love to be a part of that, they're going to have a lot of games, have a lot of fun time. And I believe on Saturday, kids are able to come just for that Saturday as well. And so they don't, if your junior higher doesn't want to stay overnight, they can just show up Saturday morning and take part in the fun and then leave by 1 p.m. So make note of that. We've got a couple of small group studies starting up here this Wednesday, June the 28th, a women's grace group. They're going to be studying the series by Angie Smith, and it's titled Mended. And then the men's group is going to, led by Scott Miller, and they're going to be studying the series titled Fight. And so basically, if you are a lady and you would like to be a part of that, show up here Wednesday at 6:30. And if you are a man, you would like to be part of that fight study, be here at 7 p.m. And with that, I think there's other announcements. I'll let you, breeze through them and, be involved as the Spirit of God leads. And may the Lord be blessed as you are involved. As we continue this time of worship with the reading of God's Word, may we turn our attention to listening to the Holy Word of God.
Our reading today is out of the book of 1 Timothy. It is on page 1845 in our pew Bibles. We are going over verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. This is our reading today out of the Word of God for the people of God. May the ushers come forward for the offering.
When the music fades, doll is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
And the glory for the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Children's Church is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special message and ministry prepared especially for you. This morning we're continuing our series titled The Most Important Thing. And last week we found out that the most important thing that God wants you and me to be involved in is to love. We heard the catchphrase that it says, when the church loves with intent, the world sees Jesus. If you were to pull out the dictionary and look up the word intent, you would see it's defined as by design. And I don't know if you're aware here this morning or not, but God has designed that the world would see a reflection of Him through the church. And the church is you and me. And the way that the world sees a reflection of the risen Christ is by how you and I love and how you and I interact with other people. The Apostle Paul, as we found last week, he was in prison, and he penned to Timothy, who he set in place at the church at Ephesus. And he set Timothy there to set things in order. Now, the church at Ephesus, it was a church that they were involved in many different things. They had a lot of activity going on. They were involved in this and that and everything else. And yet Jesus, in the book of Revelation, he pens a letter to them, and he says, hey, you're doing all these great things, but I got one thing against you. You've lost your first love. You see, sometimes I think we need to be reminded of what our purpose is. We need to be reminded of what our call is. We need to be reminded of what God's charge to you and I is. Otherwise, we become like the church in New York that says, we're out of business and we forgot what our business is or was. You see, our business, friends, is this, and it's to love, to love, to love, to love. It's not to judge. It's not to call out, hey, you did this, you did that. It's to love. It's to love with the agape love, the self-sacrificing love, the self-denying love that Jesus loved you and me with. The sad reality is when we love, we put conditions on that type of love, and we say, I'll love you if you match up to what I think you ought to be. That's not the type of love that God wants his church, his bride, you and me, to love this world with. We must go deeper. And so the Apostle Paul, he sets Timothy there, and he says, hey, this is the aim of our charge, and it's to do one thing, and that one thing is to love. But it's not just any type of love, friends. It's love that stems or issues. There's a preposition in the original text, and it's ek, E-K, Exodus, meaning out of. It comes forth from, and it comes from this source or this place. And there's three things in verse 5 of the first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy that Paul says this type of love comes from. And the first place is a pure heart. So this morning, I want to just spend the next several moments talking about purity in heart. And before we even get into anything, I challenge you all to not think about purity in do's and don'ts. I've heard many individuals say that they signed a purity card or they've done this to remain pure or they abstained from this to be pure for God. That's not at all what purity was viewed in the context of the New Testament. You see, purity was viewed as a social condition. Purity, and that's where, you know, the scarlet letter, that woman did something she ought not do, but it affected the whole society. And when we begin to see purity in the social condition, we begin to see how what I do affects you and how what you do affects me. And it's not just about me and my personal faith. It's about us and reflecting the agape love to a fallen world. It's about us in doing the most important thing, and that's to love. You see, purity is violated when a boundary is crossed. And that boundary is what God had originally created something to be and intended for. He created you and me to be in relationship with Him. That's what He created you and me for. To be in a relationship with Jesus. To be in a relationship with the loving Father. That's what He created you and I for. The Westminster Confession goes so far and says, hey, the chief end of all people is to love God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why you're created, to love God, to enjoy Him forever. And so when we begin to think of purity in a social condition, we begin to see a new meaning on what it means to be pure. It doesn't mean that I abstain from doing this or not doing that, or I come to church faithfully every Sunday. That has nothing to do with purity of what's being spoken of here. Purity means to be free from pollution. Pornea in the Greek is where we get our word for pornography. It means to be soiled. The book of Revelation, it uses that word, pornea. Don't be polluted by the world is what the Apostle John was saying. Your purity in heart is affected when you cross a boundary in life that affects how God originally created you and me to live. So if I'm looking at things I should not look at, and it affects my relationship with God, then I become impure. If I get involved in, you know, spending way too much money, and if I have struggling paying my bills, then I become impure. But friends, it's not about do's and don'ts. We're going to find here this morning that we need to stop reducing purity down to a set of choices. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, you and I all became impure. We all were not in a situation of what God created us to live in. And that situation was to be in unhindered, uninterrupted fellowship with Him and only Him. So purity, friends, is a social thing. It's, you know, years ago when I was working downtown Youngstown, you couldn't walk one block without getting a panhandler coming up to you asking for change. It struck me as odd, like what's going on here? And it took me years later until I began to figure out why I was affronted with that. Because my view of society did not include that. It was the panhandlers, the homeless, that were out of place in that situation. Years ago, I was asked to be the best man in a friend of mine's wedding, Troy, and he married a young lady from India. So, farm boy here. you know, largely around just different social, society, ethnic groups growing up. So I go to his engagement party, and all of a sudden, I'm the minority. They're speaking a different language, and all of a sudden, I see things in my heart that I don't like. I had to walk to my car to make a heart check. You see, the thing is that when we think that we're pure, we are actually impure, because there's a subtle little thing called pride that will sneak up on us, and the scriptures test that our heart is deceitfully wicked. We can't trust our own heart. We need to acknowledge that our need for Christ is so extreme that we need him to reveal to us. And when we begin to delegate or regulate things down to, okay, I didn't do this, I did that, I'm pure, that just leads into that deception. We can't go there. In 2014, when we went down to Mexico, the mission team, and several of you are here, the thing that really got me was when we went up to the dump, and for those of you that were down there, you know, basically it was on the heels of the rainy season. Okay, now I took a pair of shoes that were older than my old shoes, okay? All right, so I took a pair of shoes that were like three times as old as what my old shoes were, just to put it in perspective. And so we're getting out of the van, and John and Christian, they're there, and they're leading the way, and they're thinking nothing of it. And then they say, hey, come on, get out of the van, and the mud's about this deep. I'm looking at people walking around that are living there, 60 families living in those conditions. They're walking in their bare feet. You know what the first thought that went through my mind was? What about my shoes? Ouch. You see, when we think we're pure, when we think we are doing a noble thing, a righteous thing, it's only then that we are deceived by our own heart, because we begin to think that we are good and we have arrived, and it's then that we have become deceived. Because the human heart is deceptive and deceitfully wicked. And that means your heart and my heart. And so when the Apostle Paul pens to Timothy that our aim, our charge, our command is to love that comes from a pure heart, we must acknowledge that everything that we are has to be under the scrutiny of Jesus Christ. If we are truly going to love from a pure heart, we have to submit everything. And even then, friends, for those of you that were on that mission trip with me, we're down there for a noble cause, amen? We're down there to serve God, amen? And yet, at that very moment, we think that we are doing good, and it's then when we get deceived. And Paul says to Timothy, our aim, our charge, our command is to love that comes from a pure heart. You see, the heart in the New Testament times is the seat of the will, the emotions, the thoughts, the desires. Everything that you are, the core of your being, that's who you are, the center being. You strip away everything else, and what remains is your heart. And so this morning, I want us to notice three things. There are three things that we all need to check this morning. You see, it's important that we acknowledge that we need to have a pure heart. Because if we don't have purity in heart, what we're going to do is we're going to judge people. We're going to slip in a way, and we're going to view people based upon their do's and don'ts, their haves, their have-nots, their accomplishments, their status in society. You see, I was horrified at those times that I've shared with you, and there are many others I could share more with you that I'm not proud of at all. But you know, the reality is this. I didn't see humans that were created in God's image. I saw external circumstances. I saw situations. I saw things that were not right. I saw things that in my schematic of life, of what God created things to be in the Garden of Eden, and you got to go all the way back there, the homelessness in Youngstown, it doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. And this is where God says to you and to me that we have a wonderful charge, a wonderful opportunity to acknowledge that, yes, it doesn't fit, but we have a responsibility to love with a self-denial, self-sacrificing love. That's our charge. That's our command. And sometimes when we think we're loving, we get tripped up. Because what's in our heart isn't right. There's three things that I want us to look at. And they all deal with motivation here, friends. And the most important thing is love from a pure heart. You know, that's the thing. And when the church loves with intent and loves with by design, that God created and designed his church to love with, then the world will always see Jesus. Always see a picture of the Christ. Always see a picture of the Son of God. And when we love by intent, that is when God's glory is shown. And so our motivations have to be right. And the first thing out of this text we can see is the importance that love that comes from a pure heart, it remains pure in truth. Paul writes in verses 3 and 4, he says, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the divine training that is in faith. You see, there's a war in our society, and the war is over truth. There's all these subtle different things, and the truth of the matter is that I could share with you the different accounts that God has opened up my heart, and I've seen what actually resides there, and I'm not proud of it. But I could share that with individuals, and individuals, they would say, oh, you're okay. You're okay. No. Love that comes out of a pure heart, it remains solidly in truth. And the truth of the matter is that we are all fallen. We are all falling short of the standard of God's love. And the moment that we think that we have arrived, the moment that we think we've accomplished something in loving and purity of heart, that's the moment we have been duped. It's the moment we have been deceived. And so we must remain pure in truth. There are people that are going around and they're teaching different things. And basically, we don't need to deal with that. You boil the thing down. Jesus said the law and the prophets, the summation of everything, is to love God and love people. And the type of love is to love out of a pure heart. So we must be steadfast in remaining in purity of truth. The second thing that we see is in verse 5. And it stems from purity of heart. If you are vigilant and checking your heart, there's a proverb that says this. It says, guard the heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. You see, I think sometimes we think, oh, this is no big deal. We don't have to worry about this. Yes, we do. Because if you fail to guard your heart, if you fail to watch your heart, if you fail to realize that the love that you have, and if we go back, that it comes out of, it stems from purity in heart, and the love that you show will be polluted. It will be contaminated. It will not be an accurate representation of the love that Christ wants you and me to love with. And so we need to acknowledge that it comes from purity in heart. We need to watch our hearts. We need to check our hearts. We need to check our motivation. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing the things here at Trinity? Why do we do Vacation Bible School and the other ministries? Is it to get a gold star? Is it to get the accolades or the accomplishments? Or is it to serve the risen Christ and to show the love of God? I certainly hope it's the latter. I certainly hope it's about showing the love of Christ to others. I certainly hope it's about pouring his love into the hearts, minds, and souls of those people that God entrusts us with. But we must realize it comes from purity in heart. Paul says, whereas the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. And the last thing this morning, friends, is that we need to guard our purity in heart. You see, the element and the issue is this. If you think that you are walking towards Christ and something comes in between you and Jesus in your relationship, if you want to remain pure in that relationship, that thing has to go. Whatever that means, whatever it looks like. If you have a relationship in life, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a fiancé, you know, a significant other, and there's something that comes in between you and that other individual, that thing to remain pure in that relationship, it's got to go. This is what's at stake, friends. And so in our relationship with Christ, he has called us to love with pure in heart, to express that self-denial, that self-sacrificing love. There are things in life that get in our way of doing that. If we truly want to remain pure in heart in our relationship with Christ, we need to check what those things are. Now, I'm not saying for anybody to go out and get divorced. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying for everybody to sell their houses. That's not what I'm saying. But when a house becomes a element of need in life and it becomes a desire or a want in life, now it's encroached and it's come in between your relationship with Christ. You see the difference? When it becomes about what you want and what you desire over following and seeking Jesus, that thing has to go. Because at that point, your purity in heart has been violated. You being pure in heart has been changed. And now it's about your wants, your desires, your will, and you haven't guarded your heart. You see, and this is what Paul says, certain persons, by swerving from these, they've wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. You see, if we fail to remain pure in the truth, to understand that it stems from purity in heart, that type of love, and if we fail to guard, we will end up in a place that we don't want to be. And that place will never be a place of reflecting the self-sacrificing, self-denying love that Jesus has called the church, you and me, to reflect and show the world. When a church loves with intent, the world will always see Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to check our hearts here this morning. Heavenly God, we pray that you would give us the courage, you would give us the discipline, the diligence to check our hearts. And give us the courage to acknowledge when our hearts are failing us and to get back on track. Give us the courage and the fortitude to say, no, this thing has to go, or no, this thing has to be added to my life. Jesus, allow us to understand that it's that important. It's absolutely that vital. For if we, the church, your bride, are to love with intent, may we reflect Jesus by remaining pure in heart. We thank you, O Christ. We bless you and we praise you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Jesus. As we close here this morning, may the God of all peace, may he bless you, and may he find you faithful and obedient in following after him. May you check your heart, and may you vigilantly guard your heart, for out of it the wellsprings of life are issued. May your desire to be pure in heart result in showing the agape, the self-sacrificing, self-denying love to this world as you go. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.